Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on July 20th, 2020. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features recent comments from Senator Tim Scott on his police reform bill and the state of play in Congress. Governor Henry McMaster is sending $32 million in grants to families of private school children to help with tuition. Congressman Jim Clyburn remembers the late civil rights icon, Georgia Representative John Lewis. We have the latest unemployment rate for June and a dire warning for medical professionals in the upstate. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from you all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a 1 to 3 minute long voicemail about what's going on in your world at 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on, whether you're unemployed, whether you're going back to work, your thoughts about the state reopening, schools going back in the fall. Just we want to know how you feel about everything that's been going on COVID-related in the state and elsewhere at 803-563-7169. And now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 1,147 deaths, and currently there are 71,213 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of July 20th at 2:20 p.m. And just some more information, we had a new single-day case record on July 19th, 2,335 cases, that was due in part to delayed reporting from a private lab. Also, the CDC notified DHEC on July 14th that the COVID-19 module for patient impact and hospital capacity would cease serving as an option for hospital reporting during this pandemic. Basically, they're changing up how these hospital bed utilization numbers are going to DHEC and are being reported. So DHEC issued a public health order supporting this transition to teletracking on July 15th. Now, hospitals are actively making the transition and DHEC is monitoring their efforts, this according to the agency. Now, during this transition, the information currently provided by hospitals is incomplete and therefore inaccurate. Once DHEC is able to verify the information the hospitals are reporting as part of this new reporting requirement, and once its system is fully implemented, it will resume daily data reports. So until all this is online, folks, we're not going to have our daily hospital bed numbers, how many people are on ventilators, until this is all up and running. So I can just tell you that the latest numbers that we do have were from July 17th, which was our high. We had 1,593 people in hospitals across the state with COVID-19 related symptoms or under investigation for the disease. On Fox News Sunday evening, Senator Tim Scott joined Harris Faulkner Presents The Fight for America to discuss police reform and race relations in America. Here's a portion of their discussion, most of which centers around stalled action on his police reform bill, the Justice Act, which didn't receive enough Democrat support to have hearings.
There's no doubt about it. The answer to your question, Harris, is unfortunately that the Democrats in the Senate have decided that presidential politics trumps taking care of an existential threat to communities of color. Let me just say that differently. The Democrats in the Senate have said that winning this election by campaigning on police brutality is more important than actually solving police brutality in July and August.
You know, things have gotten really raw. We'll step away from politics and just have your own personal story now. Your friend, former Congressman Trey Gowdy, was on my show recently, and I want you to look at how he described where we are. He got choked up, and he invoked your name.
Thank God for someone like Tim Scott in my life, who constantly reminds me that when we were kids, we couldn't go to school together. We couldn't drink out of the same water fountain. So think about all the progress we have made, and I need that in my life. I need to focus on the positive. The other thing I would say, Harris, is Republicans need to embrace law as a unifying, equalizing force. I mean, when I hear law and order, I think it means something different to a white person than a person of color, but the law should be equalizing and unifying.
Wow, did you hear those words? Wow. That law and order means something different for a white person than a black person. What is he talking about?
Well, he's just talking about the way that we have applied the law in this nation to black communities and white communities. Very different application, especially if you look back in 1965, go to Selma, Alabama. The law enforcement agencies were attacking the peaceful protesters. In 2015, when I was there with John Lewis, it was the law enforcement community that was protecting the walk. So, so much has changed. And that's one of the things that Trey was talking about. I love that guy. And what he was saying was that we have lived through the times when there was a system that was racist. We saw that. That's part of the 1960s story. What we see today are pockets that need to be dealt with, but demonizing the entire system will not produce a better result, number one. Number two, it's that inconsistent application that erodes confidence in authorities and institutions of authority that leads to chaos. It leads to anarchy. So we can do something about that by putting other people's interests before ourselves as elected officials. Don't think about waiting until after the election. Our cities, most of them liberal, cannot afford to wait for more inaction from liberal Democrat policymakers who have no interest in solving problems today and a lot of interest in winning elections tomorrow. That is a bad formula for a nation that says we're all created equally.
Elsewhere in our delegation, Senator Lindsey Graham golfed with President Donald Trump on Saturday and Sunday at the President's Golf Club in Sterling, Virginia. Moving to statewide news, on Monday, July 20th, Governor Henry McMaster announced the creation of the Safe Access to Flexible Education Grants. These are one-time, needs-based grants of up to $6,500 to help or subsidize the tuition for eligible students at participating private, parochial, or independent schools in the state. Now, approximately 5,000 grants will be funded for a total of $32.5 million. And this money comes from the federal government under the state's CARES Act appropriation, specifically the governor's Emergency Education Relief Fund, of which McMaster received $48 million. In addition to the $32.5 million he's putting towards these SAFE grants, the governor has also sent $2.4 million to the state's 8 historically black colleges and universities. That money will be used to support online instruction at each institution by upgrading hardware and by purchasing software, e-learning resources, and electronic textbooks. And finally, early July 18th, just hours after the news broke of the passing of civil rights icon and Georgia Democratic Congressman John Lewis, Congressman Jim Clyburn released a 3-minute long video remembering his friend and their friendship over the past 60 years.
Last night, when I was informed of the death of my longtime friend John Lewis, I sat alone for a moment thinking about what John meant to this country, to this movement, and to me as a person. The country lost a hero last night. The movement lost an icon. And I lost a personal friend. John and I first met back in October 1960. We were in Atlanta for an organizing meeting of what became known as the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, commonly known as SNCC. That weekend was transformative to me. John and I enjoyed almost 60 years of friendship. We never thought back then that we would be successful enough in the movement to both end up serving in Congress together. Yet, for almost 27 years, we did, because he never lost faith. When I became a majority whip, I often talk about how simple it was to whip John Lewis. You always knew exactly how he was going to vote. Does not mean you would always be comfortable with his vote, but you knew how he would vote, because you knew John Lewis. John was one of those people who internalize nonviolence. Many of us practice it, but John lived it. When I would run for leadership positions, I would never go to John to second or even to nominate me. I always went to him to ask for his support, but I never asked him to nominate or to second my nomination, because I never wanted John Lewis to be put in a position of not being able to say he was for everybody, because he was. He was that kind of person. We're gonna miss John Lewis, but John Lewis will be forever in our hearts, in our minds, and yes, in our souls. I'm doing this tape during sunrise because I do believe that as the sun set on John Lewis's life last night, the sun rises on a movement that will never die. Thank you, John. Rest in peace, our brother.
Congress returns to Washington this week and will be in session through the end of July. The Senate will go through the first week of August, and then both chambers will be in August recess until the second week of September. So let the Phase 4 stimulus debate commence. Now for a brief business section in this episode, looking at the state's unemployment rate. 105,714 people from May to June found work, which helped drive down the state's unemployment rate to 8.7% in June. Now that came down from May's 12.4%, this according to the Department of Employment and Workforce. DOE Executive Director Dan Elzey said in a statement, quote, "While that is nowhere near the March level of 3.2%, it is dramatically better than the May number of 12.4%. It is also significantly better than the U.S. national average of 11.1%. These positive economic numbers would not have been possible without the reopening of the state. It is encouraging to see that our businesses can reopen and comply with strict safety protocols to protect employees and customers. The continued success of our businesses to both reopen and remain safe is imperative for the state's economic recovery." End quote. But Elzey noted that there is still a ways to go, with South Carolinians filling initial claims at a rate that is double of what we saw in 2009, and an estimated 210,721 people are still unemployed in the state. Late on July 14th, the South Carolina Department of Corrections announced the death of Anthony Lewis Clark Jr., a 70-year-old inmate of McDougal Correctional Institution, who died from complications of COVID-19. Clark had several underlying medical conditions and died in an outside hospital a week after he tested positive for the coronavirus, and that was the seventh inmate death associated with the virus. As of July 14th, 84 offenders and 11 staff members at McDougal have tested positive for COVID-19. With 16,822 offenders system-wide, 433 offenders have tested positive for the coronavirus, this according to SCDC. Now, of those, 125 have recovered, and 308 are active cases. And there were also 89 active cases among the staff. SCDC said on July 15th that it's continuing targeted coronavirus testing at institutions where infection rates are highest to identify and isolate patients who might be positive for the virus. Testing started several weeks ago in two dorms at Kirkland and Tiger River Correctional Institutions with a goal to identify and separately house inmates who are positive and negative. Staff at those institutions will also be tested. The targeted testing is possible through a collaboration with the Medical University of South Carolina and funding included in the recently passed state budget. Moving on, COVID-19 could soon overwhelm upstate hospitals in 2 weeks if South Carolinians don't strictly follow the easiest precautions of mask wearing and social distancing. This according to medical professionals. This was the headline coming out of a press conference in Greenville on July 17th. There were several medical professionals on hand, and I want you to hear from some of them, including Dr. Marcus Blackstone of Bon Secours St. Francis Hospital System, Greenville, who had this startling statistic about being in groups.
There's a tool that we use to look at. If you are in a group of 25 people or more, you have a 99% chance that there's at least one person in that group who is COVID positive. So you've now been exposed, you know, from that standpoint. You know, going into groups where you don't know people, going into groups just to be social from that standpoint, just makes no sense, you know, from our standpoint. You know, we're at a point now that our biggest fear every day from healthcare systems is our beds are gonna get overrun. And we're not gonna be able to take care of not just COVID patients, we're not gonna take care of the patients who need our care that is non-COVID.
Dr. Wendell James, who's the Prisma Upstate Clinical Director and Incident Commander, said after Memorial Day, South Carolina went back to business as usual, and it's clear things are heading toward an unmanageable situation.
We do not want to get into a position where we have to start selecting who gets what. We are not there yet. We all have capacity, and we are doing everything we can to generate more capacity. But there is a physical limit to what can be generated. And the way we are spreading this disease amongst ourselves right now is going to outstrip that if we don't do something in the next week or two to slow this down. What we're showing you is, based on the metrics that are measurable, is this is out of control. What does that mean? It means we have got to very, very quickly institute control measures that are effective in our community, or this chart is showing us that it's going to become an unmanageable situation. We're not at that point yet. We still have capacity in the facilities of the upstate, but we have limited capacity.
Dr. James didn't give a number of people on ventilators in the upstate or how many ventilators there are, but said there was currently a sufficient amount, though, like everything he discussed, it's a matter of supply and demand. Another reason there needs to be a countywide mask requirement in Greenville, he said.
If we continue to demand more and more care for COVID, you will outrun the supply of capacity that the upstate systems can provide. Make no mistake, we have a very robust medical care system in the upstate. But when all five systems come together and they are all looking at reality, the reality is we can only supply so much. You run against the ability of bed availability, staff availability, and the fact that this is so endemic in our community at this point, that the staff is getting it in the community. They're not catching this disease at work. We need the community to please, please help us here. This is the problem with one of the issues with this virus. You can be asymptomatic and spreading a lot of viral particles to a lot of people not knowing that you have it. And this is why it's important that we put a general mask requirement countywide. I live in the south end of the county. When I walk into a establishment nowadays down there, I get looked at like I have two heads because I have a mask on. I work in a hospital where we have a lot of sick people. It is my responsibility to make sure if I have it and don't know it yet, I do not spread it to someone else in an establishment I'm in. So we are, if you want the cavalry, if you think the cavalry's coming, we need to look around the room at each other because we're probably going to be it. And that is why it is so imperative that we get this message, the truth, out to our constituents in this county, because we totally control our ability in our future. It's just a matter of will we take the responsibility for one another and do that.
If you were to use 2019 numbers of the top cases of death in South Carolina, the current 1,100 COVID-19 deaths would now rank 8th above kidney failure, sepsis, and suicide. This according to DHEC officials on a call last week. This isn't and never has been the flu, folks. Now, this is our wind down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your world. Are you still going to work? Are you on the front lines of this pandemic? How are you handling self-isolation? You going to the beach? You going to restaurants? You just staying home? Let us know. 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and a message just between 1 to 3 minutes long, guys, because you get cut off at 3 minutes, it becomes a mess. So that being said, AT, do we have any new messages?
We do. We have a new first-time caller. Her name is Caitlin, and it's not my wife. So,
oh, okay. Or any other Caitlin we know.
It's not Caitlin or Caitlin. So this is Caitlin, not Caitlin.
Okay, Caitlin, roll tape, Caitlin.
Roll tape, Caitlin.
Caitlin.
Hi, my name is Caitlin. I'm a first-time caller. newish listener and relatively new resident to South Carolina. I moved to Columbia about a year ago, and it's definitely been interesting, to say the least, to endure a pandemic away from my family, but it's been a growing experience for sure. Thankfully, my mom and my sister are coming to visit next week, and while I'm a little disappointed I can't do all of the things that I would have liked to have done with them, I am really excited to see my family. But I have a question. So my sister is a pretty picky eater, and my mom and I don't want to cause any problems around that. So I need to know, who has the best chicken tenders in Colombia? I got to know so I have a backup plan for when my sister doesn't agree with my restaurant choices. Thanks. I've really enjoyed listening to this podcast and staying in touch with the state news. So thank you guys for all that you're doing. And I look forward to continuing to listen to your content. Bye.
Thank you, Caitlin. Very excited to hear from a new resident and a somewhat new listener. We appreciate that. Would love to know where you moved from, but it's exciting nonetheless that you're going to have your family come and visit. I would say for chicken tenders, and we can definitely have people call in and talk about this, but my favorite fried chicken place in Colombia is Drake's Duckin on Main Street. So you've got a good variety there. I know that they're fried chicken sandwich is incredible, and she might like that, and they have other things there too.
Your sister's moving to a fried chicken paradise.
Yeah,
honestly.
So really anywhere you go, you really can't go wrong with fried chicken, but definitely Drake's Duckin, Main Street, Columbia. Your Zaxby's is always going to be a safe bet. So
that's the best fast food one. Not that Drake's isn't fast food, but you know, like big chain.
And
then
yeah,
there's also my favorite is Bernie's down by the stadium. Bernie's chicken is amazing. But if you want like a really quintessential Columbia experience, there's also Zesto's in West Columbia.
Yeah, so a lot of great selection there.
Options. You got options. Yeah. And so Gavin, moving on. We have I want this on the record right now, okay? So I ordered Gavin's birthday presents in the beginning of June. And a smart friend
to order ahead.
Yeah, I planned ahead, but I also ordered from Etsy because you get that little
so
personal
local, so unique.
Touches,
yeah,
know? Yeah.
Quality.
And
you always get good
stuff,
too.
It also takes a month and a half. So it just came today.
That's the quality.
I left it in a bag on Kevin's stoop. He hasn't seen it, and he's going to unbag it right now. And I'll just tell you, I do what I do with every gift is I buy myself things that I like, and I give them to other people.
So you can hear that. You can hear the bag right now. So we,
that's quality,
One of our favorite things to do is just make fun of unboxing videos.
Every time I have something stupid here, Gavin's like,
oh my
unbox
God.
It, unbox it.
Yeah, I wish you could have unboxed your new laptop. I wish I could put like an unboxing video on in the background. Wow.
God, it's so stupid.
So what I'm seeing here is this
really, really good tape holding this box closed.
So I love the design of the bag, even though you've told me that it's this refined bag from the local marketplace here. Really quality. I know it's not related to the gift, but it's just a really
great
presentation.
Don't look in.
It's a great presentation.
Reach
I have to reach in. Okay. Oh, it's actually really sharp.
Reach
it's
it.
A sharp. It's a sharp bag, which
it's
I've never.
It's five knives.
Ouch!
It's five
ouch.
Knives.
I feel like I hit one of them. Okay, I'm pulling something out.
You'll have to explain to everyone what it is.
What I'm feeling. Okay, the first one I have, I think, is like an 8x10 little canvas.
It's 8x10.
Painting of. It's a wonderful rendition of Ned Flanders as the devil when Homer eats the forbidden donut.
Forbidden donut, exactly right.
And he leaves just like a little bit of a crumb left, and he's like, I fooled the devil. And he's like, no one fooled the devil. Perfect.
Devil Flanders is sick, right? I was going to get you a gilded frame, but I didn't have time.
Yeah, I'll keep this on my desk, and I'll just think of when I think of you and your demands, I'll just look at this and say, I don't want Matt AT showing up. And that's
right.
What I'll think of.
I can be a Satan myself.
Yes, you are. Okay, now I'm reaching back into the sharp paper bag. Ouch.
This is the last one, last piece.
Okay, so I'm seeing it's a face mask. I haven't seen the full thing, so I'm taking
you
that.
You know what it is.
I think I do. It's cotton, it's white, and it has somebody's mouth on it.
Come on.
Is this...
It It's Jack Nicholson from The Shining.
Oh, I thought, what? Look at the picture.
When he shoves his face in the door.
I mean, to be fair, it just looks like it's a man with bearded like scruff and just jacked up teeth.
Oh, come on.
I mean, I was expecting a Flavor Town one from Guy Fieri. That's what
Flavor
I had in my mind.
Would have been a good idea.
Which,
yeah.
I think, don't tell Caleb, but that's going to be your birthday present.
That's wonderful. That's fine. Come on. Okay. Jack Nicholson from The Shining.
Yeah. This is
Wendy.
Wonderful. I'm going to wear it while we're podcasting just to be safe. I want us to...
Wendy.
We got to go.
Give me the bat.
Give me the bat, Wendy. Go on.
Give me the bat, Wendy.
I'm not going to hurt you. Just going to bash your head.
Danny.
So we're going to have to... definitely wear that. We have to go out together somewhere so you can like
very
definitely keep an eye on people's like reactions and such. Yeah, that's quality. That's beautiful right there.
Yeah, you got good stuff. Obviously stuff that I wanted.
Yeah,
but
which is
I
that's what always
give
gives
you.
The best gifts. I mean, I do the same thing to people. It's like Oprah. It's like Gavin's favorite things, AT's favorite things. So what did you get then? Did you get a Simpsons painting?
No, I didn't. I got myself, I showed you, it's a print of a guillotine, but instead of a blade, it's a slice of pizza, and it says Death by Pizza. It's very cool. Michael Hacker, great artist.
And that's just your love of pizza. It's not like a band. It's nothing. It's just
no.
It,
it's literally just a. It's a screen print of a bloody pizza guillotine. Which
are you
is
worried?
Very much my aesthetic.
Yeah, are you worried that maybe you could die from pizza one day?
I hope that's how I want to go out. Yeah, that's how I want to go out.
But like peacefully and not like choking and...
Either way, I don't care. I want it to be pizza. I want to die as I lived, you know?
Gorging on pizza.
Yeah, that's struggling. What I do for the most part. I had pizza last night.
Was it on a bagel? Because if it's on a bagel, you can have it anytime, I've been told.
Yo, pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time.
On a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can have pizza anytime.
You know, I was in court once, and I told them that, and they did not.
The classic, it's the classic Bagel Bites defense. The only classic. One stronger than the classic Bagel Bites defense is
the parent trap defense.
That there is no rule that says a dog can't play basketball.
Your Honor, I object. I'm in the middle of eating a pizza on a bagel.
There is nothing in the rule book that says a dog can't play basketball.
Can you tell your client to please remove that bagel bite? Your Honor, it's not a bagel bite. That's a trademark. It's just
I moved to stricken from the record. Stricken it from the record.
I do have a little note before we get out of here, too, that the World Cornhole Tournament is taking place in Columbia this week at the Convention Center. If you don't want to go, you can watch
you
live.
Don't have to.
On AmericanCornhole.com. We'll be giving you updates.
AmericanCornhole.com. Do not go AmericanCornhole.net or you will go somewhere you don't want to see.
I can't verify any other web address except AmericanCornhole.com.
Do not go to AmericanCornhole.biz. That's a dangerous website.
Well, I think this all started on their GeoCity page, which now is obviously defunct.
Actually, it was Lycos.
Lycos. Our Gen Z, Zennials, whatever. I don't even know what they are. Whatever. What? What is Lycos? Oh, you know what it is? Go ask Jeeves' kids, right? That's
right.
Not what I'm talking about. Also, Jakarta Tom, Grand Strand Man, Roman is looking to connect. If you're listening, which you are, holler at each other on our socials. And again, we look forward to your dispatches from abroad and Roman's journey to the Emirates in the future. So very fun. Very cool to see everyone connecting out there in our little lead universe.
We're gonna have a dating site soon. Leaders finding leaders. Go on.
It's like this executive, like business executives are like, this isn't what I thought it was. We're like, no, you're looking for leaders. This is leaders.
See, okay, but like when well, people think
snack.
Of love, they think of
lead.
Hyperlocal political podcasts.
Yeah.
Close it out.
So that being said, thanks for listening to the pod. Thanks for being here for another week. And show us your appreciation by leaving us a review on iTunes or a voicemail at 803-563-7169. We love hearing from you guys. And it's less time that we talk, even though it seems like we'll just keep talking anyway. But stay up with the latest news on scetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. And consider becoming an ETV member.
Membership starts at $40, and if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all the great programming your donation helps support. So yeah, if you're looking for a new streaming service, you can support ETV and PBS and get more streaming content right on your smart TV. So it's a win-win, folks. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Lie.
Lie. Just a lie.